Thanks for joining us here on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent. We're talking about the pandemic's toll on government and school coffers. State tax collections are down $313 million from last year. That's according to estimates released yesterday by the nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau. And last week, Governor Tony Evers' administration ordered state agencies to cut spending by 5%. Still, a new report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum shows schools could likely face cuts down the road. What do you think? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. How is your budget being affected by the pandemic? What are your top concerns as government leaders look at the financial challenges facing them? Where are your priorities? Join in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Our guest is Jason Stein. He's research director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Jason, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Keely.
How surprised should we be by yesterday's new tax collection estimates from the Fiscal Bureau?
I think, you know, we were certainly expecting a very big impact. When you look at the number for just April, April 2020 was down $870 million from April 2019, which is a really terrifying number. You know, one silver lining is that the state has delayed the income tax filing and quarterly payment deadlines. And that means that some portion of that we will make up in the coming months as people file and pay their quarterly taxes later. But we don't know how much of that we'll make up yet. And it, you know, it really matters when we get those final numbers.
Do we have any more clarity, though, about how the pandemic then could affect these state budgets, municipal budgets, school budgets?
Sure. So, I mean, clearly there are going to be big impacts. I don't think there's a scenario where we don't have big impacts. It's just a question of, is it big or is it very big? As the state faces challenges, schools and local governments, you know, particularly schools, you know, have challenges themselves because the state's largest single expense is K-12 school aids in 2019, roughly $6 billion or about a third of the budget in the state's main account or fund. So it would be very difficult if the state has a budget repair bill or if the state has got to adjust its spending downward to balance its budget for lawmakers and the governors to hold schools harmless. And that's one of the reasons why it's very difficult for school officials to budget right now, because they're doing it under a real cloud of uncertainty about what's going to be happening with their finances. And we can talk more about that.
Yeah, because certainly there's money that comes from the state, but how much do schools rely on that funding versus local property taxes or other sources?
Sure. It's very important, state aid as a share of school district budgets. You know, I mean, it varies in how you think about it, but certainly, you know, if you look at it, we're about, you know, more than half of their revenues come from the state. And, you know, that's more than other local governments in Wisconsin. And, you know, depending on the source of data you use, more than other school districts nationally, or at least as much. So, you know, there's reason to think that schools could be hit particularly hard by state budget troubles. And then it really varies by individual school district. So general school aids in our state are allocated by property tax values. So, you know, rural districts or districts like the Milwaukee Public Schools or Beloit, they have lower property values in many cases and receive more state aid. School districts like Madison and suburban Milwaukee schools have higher property values and receive less state aid. So, you know, a cut to state aid may not affect districts evenly across the board. It's going to hit some districts potentially harder than others. There's some caveats to that, but I think, you know, as a general rule, that's something to remember.
And also, it sounds like in general, what you're saying is that schools in poorer communities might be more vulnerable to state cuts.
I think that's potentially true, yes. And, you know, those would be some of the same communities where you would have more underserved students, you know, more students of color, more students in poverty that may have, you know, challenges in the learning environment to begin with. So, you know, I think that's another thing to keep in mind as we go through this crisis.
Not only are schools grappling with making sure that this budget is shored up and looking forward and going, how much money are we even going to have to pay teachers to spend on students? They've also encountered unexpected costs because of the pandemic that are really putting some financial pressure on them. What has come up that schools have had to spend money on that they didn't intend to if we, you know, had kids in classrooms?
Right. I think that's a good point. You could imagine a garden variety economic crisis or recession, right, where state tax revenues are taking a hit. Schools might expect financial problems on the revenue side. You know, they might have some additional spending, but their operations would continue, you know, in something like, quote unquote, normal fashion. You know, that is not the case right now. So you see districts, obviously, around the state, they've had to end classroom instruction and shift to virtual learning. You know, that has meant many districts have made investments in computers, software licenses, training, you know, in some cases, copying or shipping costs to get materials to students. And, you know, we don't fully know yet when they will return to normal in that range. You know, summer school might be affected. And when you look to the fall, you know, even if regular instruction, classroom instruction returns, there might still be some types, I'm not a public health expert, but there might still be some types of restrictions in terms of how many students can be on a school bus or in a classroom, or how you can serve school lunch, that might affect, you know, not just the district's operations, but their finances as well.
We're discussing what the pandemic could mean for the budgets of state and local governments and school services. Our guest is Jason Stein from the Wisconsin Policy Forum. And there's a line for you at 800-642-1234. Do you work at a school or for a government office in Wisconsin? How is your budget being affected by the pandemic? Maybe you don't. What are your top concerns at the state level or the city level? What are you looking at for schools and trying to figure out what would be a priority? And what services do you think might endure some cuts and should endure some cuts? And what do you think we have to preserve? 800-642-1234 is a line for you to share your ideas. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. Jason, what about emergency funds? What does your reporting show about how much money schools have in reserves that could help them weather this crisis?
Well, during the economic expansion, schools did add to what we refer to as their fund balances, their reserves. And that represents the assets minus the liabilities that the schools have. And we looked at the funds used for instruction. And so, you know, in many cases, this is cash, but it doesn't have to be. It could be receivables. It could be money and property tax payments or state aid that is due to districts and they don't actually have in hand yet. You know, it could be as well amounts that can be restricted. So they might, you know, in certain cases be gifts or donations or types of money that they can't simply use to pay teachers' salaries. So you have to be careful about how you characterize it. But schools have added to their reserves in recent years as a whole, when you look at it statewide. And, you know, that's better than if they had not. It at least gives them a little more in the way of resources that they can try and use to respond to this challenge. Although, again, as a one-time source of money, a fund balance can't necessarily make up for a permanent decrease in revenue or increase in spending.
How quickly do schools have to make these major budget decisions, like staffing? I mean, because that could affect even class sizes in the fall.
Right. I mean, it varies. So they've already had to, you know, enter into the hiring and contracting process with teachers. They're already moving ahead with their preliminary budgets for the 2021 school year that starts in July. So they're already moving forward with that. you know, it is normal that school districts will come in the fall and revise their preliminary budget and finalize their property tax levy. You know, in many cases, the revisions that get done in the fall can be pretty minor. This year, they could certainly be much more significant, and that's something the public should be aware of, because there's so much that we don't know right now. If the state comes in and changes school aids, and also, you know, the state, it's possible that the state could change the caps that it puts on school district revenues from general school aids and property taxes. And if the state were to do that, every district would be affected. So not just the districts that depend heavily on state aid, but also the districts that rely more on local property taxes.
So it's individual school districts having to grapple with this, but all affected in some way, somehow.
At least potentially, yes.
All right. We are talking with Jason Stein, who is with the Wisconsin Policy Forum, and we're discussing how the pandemic's toll is happening on government and school coffers, what's happening with school district funding right now. And there's time for your questions at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about how government is pivoting as we look at changes to revenues? What do you want to understand about how the process works and where the money comes from, where it goes, and how would you handle cuts if you had to deal with it right now? What areas of state government do you think we could pull back from, and where are your non-negotiables, the things that are absolute priorities for you right now when it comes to funding from the state, from cities, from schools? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings or send your question or your ideas via email, and that is at ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue this conversation here on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina. It's The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina. More than 500,000 people have filed unemployment claims in Wisconsin since this new coronavirus pandemic caused an economic shutdown in mid-March. And aside from the increased cost of paying those claims, the surge in people out of work is causing a slump in income tax collections. People aren't spending as much money. We're discussing the role growing financial pressure of government offices and schools and possible budget cuts ahead. Jason Stein from the Wisconsin Policy Forum stays with us, and we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. How has the pandemic affected the taxes that you pay? What are your top priorities as government and school leaders consider cuts? Join in at 800-642-1234. And we've got John from Thorpe who wants to help us better understand the circumstances. Hi, John. Thanks for the call.
Hey, good morning. I wanted to say that although school districts appear to have a fund balance, it's not typically money sitting in the bank. In my district, for instance, we try to carry a fund balance so that we don't have to go out and borrow money to make payroll, especially in December. We don't get a monthly allocation of funds from the state or from the county in terms of our property taxes or state aids. We get money at certain times of the year, and so we'll get quite a bit of our annual funding comes in January, but in December, we may even have to go to the bank and borrow money to be able to have enough to make payroll. So although we show a fund balance, it's not a significant amount of money, and it's not an amount of money that's sitting in the bank that we can just use up to make it through this crisis.
So, John, it's not just a sort of, I guess, to compare it to personal finances. It's not just a savings account that sits there. It's something that you dip into and that you actively manage.
Yeah, of sorts, and it represents the difference between the amount of income we have in a year and the amount of expenditures we have in a year. And so over the course of the year, there is a difference, but at different times, we have more in the bank, and other times we have a lot less in the bank. And in fact, last year, we had to go to the bank to borrow money so that we didn't run out in order to make a payroll in December.
John, you have you are quite well versed in this. You have a role in a school district where you are?
Yeah, I'm a superintendent in Thorpe, which is a small district of Carroll Clare.
And do you have any idea where you would start if you had to make cuts?
Well, You know, it starts now about being very judicious with hiring. Your guest talked about being getting people under contract, and we are needing to replace some retirements, but we're trying to be very judicious about the ongoing hiring. The other thing then we would start to look at is what can we do around student supports. But as your guest also mentioned, the idea of having lower class sizes, that just causes us to need more staff, not less. So it's going to be a real challenge, and we're budgeting for the possibility of either no change in state aid or a significant reduction in state aid, and I'll have a draft budget to my board here in a couple of weeks for next year based on a variety of different possibilities.
Wow. John, thank you so much for being willing to share what's going on in your district as we try to work through this. Jason Stein, in April, more than 80% of school referendums passed on that ballot. That's more than $1.7 billion in funding. Could those referendums help stabilize school funding during this pandemic?
Potentially, yes. I mean, it's certainly, I think probably for those districts, you would rather pass those referendum than not pass them. You know, one challenge for districts will be with their communities. You know, a referendum gives a district the authority to raise property taxes, you know, to either cover its operating budget or, you know, a capital project like renovations at a school. But school boards will still have to make a determination about whether, given all the challenges that many communities are facing, whether they can raise property taxes or raise them to the full amount that they otherwise might have. And just to respond to something that John said, I think he makes a good point about the fact that, you know, many districts do need to do short-term borrowing each year. The State Association of School Business Officials has put that number at about 160 out of the state's 421 districts. And if districts had to draw down their fund balances, you would see that number of districts increase, and there would be a cost to the districts for that.
All right. Certainly a complicated issue that affects a lot of people. We are talking with Jason Stein of the Wisconsin Policy Forum about how the pandemic is affecting budgets. We've been talking a lot about schools, also talking about state government and how different communities will be handling this. And we are taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Scott in New Berlin is on the line now. Hi, Scott.
Yes, hello. I've been harping on this point, but I can't get a hold of anybody in state government for a month. There should be a 20% across-the-board pay cut for every government employee until we're out of this mess. And across the board, everyone, from state to county to schools, everything, because everybody else's hours are getting cut here and there, and I haven't seen the state take hardly anything to account for the reduction in revenues. I've heard Governor Evers something about 5%. That's a pittance. And then the UW system, one furlough day per month for the next 6 months. That's nothing. 20% across the board to every state and government employee. And then maybe there'll be a little more pressure to open the economy back up.
All right, Scott, we hear you loud and clear. Jason, Scott says the cuts that we've made are a pittance. Is that what 5% across the board looks like in state government or with the UW system?
It's certainly true that you do see some local governments already doing furloughs. You've seen the city of Milwaukee talk about that. You know, at many other places, you haven't seen furloughs yet, but you have already seen hiring freezes. We'll see what happens over the next year. I mean, it certainly seems like the impacts will be very severe and deep, both at the local and the state level. One thing that we don't know yet is what the federal government will do in response. So there was a very large, the CARES Act response passed at the federal level. It provides a lot of money to the state. So far, the guidance has suggested that that money can't be used to offset lost revenues. You know, it's possible that the federal government could either change that guidance or provide a larger or provide some other aid package in the future. And that might change the situation substantially for the state. You know, if that doesn't happen, you're probably looking at significant cuts. If everything holds true the way it appears to right now, but there's still a lot of unknowns.
What do we know about how this pandemic and the economic circumstances could affect funding sources for cities that rely on things like police or firefighters, trash disposal?
I mean, I think they would have the same concerns that the state does, in that, you know, the state has what's called shared revenues for cities and counties and villages around the state. That's in the neighborhood of $800 million. In addition, there's local road aids that local governments receive. Those are funded in part through the state gas tax. With everyone sheltering in place, you know, we've presented research that shows that there's been very significant fall off in driving around the state. That's going to affect gas tax revenues and local road aids. So, you know, other local governments, although they don't depend on state aid to the degree that school districts do, it's still a very important part of their budget, and they could see hits as well.
All right, Jason, we know we're at the beginning of this conversation. Thank you for breaking it down for us where we stand now.
Oh, thank you, Keely.
Jason Stein is research director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, and we've been talking about the pandemic's financial toll on government services and a lot about the fact that schools are going to have to start making decisions with what is either flat or maybe even cuts for school districts, for staff, for per student allocations. Up next here on The Morning Show, we're learning about how musicians are handling cancellations of concerts and festivals. They're taking the hit financially and creatively. Join the conversation. Email ideas at WPR.org. Are you a musician or a fan? What's the hardest part about live music being on hiatus? And how do you think local music will be different as the COVID-19 outbreak wanes? We've got a panel of musicians from across the state ready to share their stories with you. I'm Keely Boltina. This is the Ideas Network.